Our reading today is taken from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 15, and reading from verse 1 to 10. That's Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
The parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin are arguably two of the most familiar parables and readings probably in the whole of the New Testament. To those of us within the family of Christianity, it's just about impossible not to be familiar with the parables and with their meaning. As told in Luke's Gospel, Jesus presents the people listening to him with these two stories of lost and found. In each case, the one who suffers the lost goes to remarkable lengths to try and find what's missing. A shepherd goes out on a limb, leaving the rest of his valuable flock in order to search for the one sheep that's wandered off. A woman turns her whole house upside down and won't stop searching until she finds the one coin that she's lost. Then, having recovered the said sheep and the said coin, shepherd and woman call together their friends and neighbours in celebration that what was lost has now been found. And as we know, Jesus takes both these simple stories and applies them to God, making the equally simple point that celebration and rejoicing is what happens in heaven when even one sinner repents and turns back to their Father. So far, so good, we might say. We belong to a God who actively searches for the lost and rejoices whenever even one of the lost is found. And that surely is reason for us to celebrate. So the sheep is back in the fold and the coin is back in the purse, presumably. And the sinner has repented and turned back to God. And that's where Jesus leaves the parables. But what, I wonder, happens next? What more is there to think about? Is there anything else to think about? Well, I could ask you for a start, are you lost or are you found? But the trouble with identifying ourselves as either lost or found is that we can all too easily fall into the potential trap of thinking about repentance or thinking about faith more generally in a binary fashion. That either we've lost our way somehow or else we're safe in the fold. We're in or we're out. It's one or the other. But to think that either we're lost or we've been found, I think, is to create a false dichotomy and a false sense of security. Because the lived reality for most of us, I think, is that we are both lost and found at any one moment in time. Like me, you are most likely constantly lost and constantly being found, constantly wandering off, constantly distracted, constantly getting it wrong, constantly misjudging, constantly mishearing, constantly misinterpreting, and constantly being brought back to grace and inclusion in the fold again and again. Jesus speaks of the one sheep that strays and the 99 who do not. He also distinguishes, if you remember, between the one person who repents and the 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or as I like to imagine, the 99 who have no awareness of their need for repentance or change. And I say that because there was a subtle, clever power in those parables. Jesus was telling them against a backdrop of the accepted religious practices of the day, a culture in which the scribes and Pharisees framed and understood their religious expression in terms of upholding the letter and the practice of the law. And perfectly understandably and logically, the scribes and the Pharisees considered themselves righteous for doing it. By contrast, it was clear that the people who were drawn to Jesus were often those in the periphery of things, by definition, or gender, or circumstance, or occupation, not considered in the fold of the righteous. Yet these were the very people who frequently recognized and acknowledged their need of restorative power. These were the people who were reaching out to God, reaching out to them. So perhaps Jesus was making a distinction between those who were aware of their need for repentance and those who were unaware that they had any need for change in their lives. Repentance need not come with flashing lights and drama. It isn't necessarily a once and for all event or moment in time. To be repentant, we don't have to preoccupy ourselves with guilt or regret. It's not about blame or judgment. Repentance is simply a turning towards God. It's a continual process of reorientation of our lives to what's important and to what should be for us as Christians a priority. Metanoia, the New Testament term for repentance, means quite literally a change of mind, a different way of seeing. So repentance is an acknowledgement that we want things to be different. If you like, it's an openness to God's word and a recommitment to God's ways and values. And therefore, as I said, an inevitable reaching out to God as God reaches out to us. Again and again in our lives, like the shepherd, God comes searching for us. Like the woman looking for the coin, God doesn't rest until every avenue is explored, because every sheep has a fold and every coin is precious. And that's a perfect metaphor for God's grace. God's grace is an invitation back to where we belong. It's broad enough to appreciate our meanderings and our propensity as people to keep wandering off. Yet it is tenacious enough to keep on reaching out. But being repeatedly lost and repeatedly found is the way of faith. It's the path that we're on, and it's perfectly possible to be one or the other, or even to be both at once. And it doesn't matter where we lose ourselves or where we're found even, because we're promised that God's grace will always be new, will always be enough and will always be sufficient. Amen.